Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldar, and today Mezeches Makos Daf Tezvav, the third parak El Hanalokin. The Zichu Mezeches program has been generously sponsored by Milestone Education as a schus for Hachzakas HaTorah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Yochanan said, Kol lo sase shekadmu ase lokin alav, regarding any negative commandment preceded by an ase, one receives Makos for transgressing it. Although one can avoid malchus for a lav hanitak la'ase, where the ase was given to correct the violation of the lav, an ase which precedes the lav does not exempt one from malchus. When asked, Rabbi Yochanan denied holding this way, but Rabbah confirmed this was his opinion and brought proof for it. The Torah requires a tamei to leave the mikdash, an ase, and the next pasuk prohibits a tamei from entering it, a lav. And our Mishnah taught that a tamei who enters a mikdash receives malchus. Later, a papa asked why one receives malchus for such a love, since it's not similar to love to chasima, the prohibition against muzzling a threshing animal, which is the model for malchus. Rava responds, Mishum de kasabe rachmana ase yiser migra gra, is it any less because the Torah wrote an additional ase for it? Rapapa asked that the same could be argued for a love anitiko ase, which does not receive malchus, but Rava explained, Haulu natuke love hudasa, that ase which is commanded after violating the love comes to remove the love from the standard punishment of malchus by instead requiring the ase. Point number two, the Gemara asks why Rabbi Yochanan had retracted his ruling and explains because a braisa teaches, Ones Shagerosh, one who violated a basua, and after marrying her, as required, he divorced her. Then if he's a Yisrael who may remarry her, Maxer Vein Aloka, he remarries her and does not receive malchus. Now since the ase to marry the anusa precedes the love to divorce her, he should receive malchus. The Gemara attempts at length to answer that the ase to remarry her is superfluous, since it's also written regarding Mosi Shemra, and is therefore applied to after divorcing. But this answer is ultimately rejected. Rava eventually answers, Kol yama ba'amud v'hechzer. All his days he is subject to the commandment to arise and remarry her. The Torah's superfluous phrase not to divorce her all his days teaches that if he does divorce her, she cannot remain divorced all his days and he must remarry her. This ase follows the love. And point number three, someone quoted a braisa regarding a lav hanitak la'ase with contradictory implications. It said that if the transgressor fulfilled the ase afterwards, he is exempt from malchus, implying that merely failing to fulfill it would incur malchus. Yet, it concludes that if he nullified the ase, he receives malchus, implying he only receives malchus if he makes it impossible to fulfill the ase. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan told him to amend his braisa to teach bitul v'lo bitul. If he nullified the ase, he's liable. And if he did not nullify it, he is exempt. Reish Lakish held to amend it the opposite way. Kimu v'lo kimu. If he fulfilled it when ordered by Basin, he's exempt. And if he did not fulfill it, he is liable. Their malchokas depends on another. Rabbi Yochanan holds hasra safek shma hasra. An uncertain warning is considered a valid warning for malchus. Therefore, although when one violates the lav, it's unknown if he will later nullify the ase, thereby completing the violation, the hasra is valid for malchus. Reish Lakish holds hasra safek is not a valid hasra, and is forced to hold kimu v'lo kimu, where the transgression is complete when he violates the lav, although he can rectify it by fulfilling the ase. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rabbi Yochanan said, Kol lo sase shekadmu ase lokin lav, regarding any negative commandment preceded by an ase, one receives malchus for transgressing it. Although one can avoid malchus for a lav hanitak la'ase, where the ase was given to correct the violation of the lav, an ase which precedes the lav does not exempt one from malchus. When asked, Rabbi Yochanan denied holding this way, but Rabbah confirmed this was his opinion and brought proof for it. The Torah requires a tamei to leave the mikdash, an ase, and the next pasuk prohibits a tamei from entering it, a lav. And our Mishnah taught that a tamei who enters a mikdash receives malchus. Later, a papa asked why one receives malchus for such a lav, since it's not similar to lav to chasima, the prohibition against muzzling a threshing animal, which is the model for malchus. Rava responds, Mishum de kasabe rachmana ase yiser migra gra, is it any less because the Torah wrote an additional ase for it? Rapapa asked that the same could be argued for a lav hanitak la'ase, which does not receive malchus, but Rava explained, Haulu natuke lav hudasa, that ase which is commanded after violating the lav comes to remove the lav from the standard punishment of malchus by instead requiring the ase. Point number two, the Gemara asks why Rabbi Yochanan had retracted his ruling and explains because a braisa teaches, Ones Shigerosh, one who violated a basua, and after marrying her, as required, he divorced her. Then if he's a Yisrael who may remarry her, Maxer Vein Eloka, he remarries her and does not receive Malkus. Now since the Ase to marry the Anusa precedes the love to divorce her, he should receive Malkus. The Gemara attempts at length to answer that the Ase to remarry her is superfluous since it's also written regarding Moshe Shemra and is therefore applied to after divorcing. But this answer is ultimately rejected. Rava eventually answers, Kol yama ba'amud v'hechzer. All his days he is subject to the commandment to arise and remarry her. The Torah's superfluous phrase not to divorce her all his days teaches that if he does divorce her, she cannot remain divorced all his days and he must remarry her. This ase follows the love. And point number three, someone quoted a braisa regarding a love hanitik la'ase with contradictory implications. It said that if the transgressor fulfilled the ase afterwards, he's exempt from malchus, implying that merely failing to fulfill it would incur malchus. Yet, it concludes that if he nullified the ase, he receives malchus, implying he only receives malchus if he makes it impossible to fulfill the ase. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan told him to amend his braisa to teach bitul v'lo bitul. If he nullified the ase, he's liable. And if he did not nullify it, he is exempt. Reish Lakish held to amend it the opposite way. Kimo v'lo kimo. If he fulfilled it when ordered by Beis Din, he's exempt. And if he did not fulfill it, he is liable. Their malchokus depends on another. Rabbi Yochanan holds hasra safek shma hasra. An uncertain warning is considered a valid warning for malchus. Therefore, although when one violates the love, it's unknown if he will later nullify the ase, thereby completing the violation, the hasra is valid for malchus. Reish Lakish holds hasra safek is not a valid hasra, and is forced to hold kimu v'lo kimu, where the transgression is complete when he violates the love, although he can rectify it by fulfilling the ase. Alright, so now we go to Siman Daf Tezvav, and our standard Siman is a fruit bowl because Tezvav reminds us of Tu B'Shvat, which reminds us of fruit, and we use a fruit bowl to make the Siman more distinct. So here goes. The tummy man holding the fruit bowl who had been whipped for violating the los ase of not entering the mikdash tummy, which is preceded by an ase, presented it to his anusa whom he had divorced to get her to remarry him to void another malchus, not knowing that he would not be loka unless he made it impossible to fulfill the ase of remarrying her. Once again, slow motion. The tummy man holding the fruit bowl, that must be on Dav Tezvav. Tu B'Shvat, fruit bowl. The tummy man holding the fruit bowl who had been whipped for violating the los ase of not entering the mikdash tummy, which is preceded by an ase, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Kol los ase shekadmu ase lokin olav. Regarding any negative commandment preceded by an ase, one receives malchus for transgressing it. Although one can avoid malchus for a love hanitak ase, where the ase was given to correct the violation of the love, an ase which precedes the love does not exempt one from malchus. So the tummy man holding the fruit bowl who had been whipped for violating the los ase of not entering the mikdash tummy, which is preceded by an ase, presented it to his anusa whom he had divorced to get her to remarry him to avoid another malchus, which reminds us, a braisa teaches ones shigirish, one who violated a basua, and after marrying her, as required, he divorced her. Then if he's a Yisrael who may remarry her, maxer vein eloka, he remarries her and does not receive malchus. Since the ase to marry the anusa precedes the love to divorce her, he should receive malchus. Rava eventually answers, kol yama ba'amud v'hechzer. All his days, he is subject to the commandment to arise and remarry her. The Torah's superfluous phrase, not to divorce her, all his days, teaches that if he does divorce her, she cannot remain divorced all his days, and he must remarry her. This ase follows the love. So the tummy man holding the fruit bowl who had been whipped for violating the los ase of not entering the mikdash tame, which is preceded by an ase, presented it to his anusa whom he had divorced to get her to remarry him to void another malchus, not knowing that he would not be loka unless he made it impossible to fulfill the ase of remarrying her, which reminds us, someone quoted a braisa regarding a love hanitak la'ase with contradictory implications. It said that if the transgressor fulfilled the ase afterwards, he is exempt from malchus, implying that merely failing to fulfill it would incur malchus. Yet it concludes that if he nullified the ase, he receives malchus, implying he only receives malchus if he makes it impossible to fulfill the ase. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan told him to amend his braisa to teach bitul v'lo bitul. If he nullified the ase, he is liable. And if he did not nullify it, he is exempt. Reish Lakish held to amend it the opposite way, kimu v'lo kimu. If he fulfilled it, when ordered by Beis Din, he is exempt. And if he did not fulfill it, he is liable. So once again, the tummy man holding the fruit bowl who had been whipped for violating the los ase of not entering the mikdash tame, which is preceded Bayanase presented it to his anusa, whom he had divorced, to get her to remarry him, to avoid another malchus, not knowing that he would not be loka unless he made it impossible to fulfill the ase of remarrying her. All right, so now it's time for four blot back Chazara. Daf Yudolf. So the Simur Daf Yudolf is stars based on the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. The mother of the Kohen Gadol who brought food in star-themed baskets, star, that must mean we're on Daf Yudolf. The mother of the Kohen Gadol who brought food in star-themed baskets to the men in Ari Miklat, so they should not daven for her son to die, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one who killed B'shogeg returns home when the Kohen Gadol dies, whether a Meshuch B'Shemen a Mishcha, a Merubah B'Gadim, or one who left his role of a Kohen Gadol, meaning a temporary replacement. Rav Yehuda says, even the death of the Meshuch Mochama, the Kohen Gadol anointed for battle, returns the killer. Therefore, the mothers of the Kohanim Gadolim would provide food and clothing to the exiles, so they shouldn't daven that their son should die. In another version, the Mishnah says the mothers provided for the exiles so they should daven their sons should not die, implying that without their prayers, the Kohanim Gadolim would die. So the mother of the Kohen Gadol, who brought food in star-themed baskets to the men in Ari Miklat, so they should not daven for her son to die, especially the Chochem, whose claw was extremely dangerous, which reminds us, Rav said, Kilas Chochem afilo bechinam hiba, the curse of a sage, even undeserved, will come to pass. This is derived from Achitofel and the incident when David was digging the foundations of the base of Migdash and the waters from the deep began to rise and threaten the world. So the mother of the Kohen Gadol who brought food in star-themed baskets to the men in Ari Miklat, so they should not daven for her son to die, especially the Chochem whose claw was extremely dangerous, was devastated when her son the Kohen Gadol fell off a ladder and killed some B'shogeg and was sentenced to life in Galus, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Mishenigmar dino meis Kohen Gadol, if the Kohen Gadol dies after the killer's verdict was completed, arzeh in a gola, he's not exiled at all because the Kohen Gadol's death prevents his exile. If the Kohen Gadol died and another was appointed before sentencing, his exile would end when the second Kohen Gadol dies. If he was sentenced when there was no Kohen Gadol, or one who mistakenly kills a Kohen Gadol, or a Kohen Gadol who kills Iniyos Misham Olam, he doesn't leave the Ir Miklat ever since there was no Kohen Gadol at the time. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simur Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. Well, three of the 12 brothers. 12 brothers? That must be on Daf Yud Beis. Well, three of the 12 brothers playing the Ir Miklat game were trying to pull away one who was grabbing onto the horns of a model Mizbeach, which reminds us, Rav said that Yo made two mistakes when he fled to the Mishkan on Shiloh and grabbed the horns of the Mizbeach. Number one, Tashe Enokolet El Gago. He erred in that only the Mizbeach's roof protects by standing on it, but he grabbed its horns. Number two, he also erred because only the Mizbeach in the base of Mikdash offers refuge, and he grabbed the Mizbeach in the Mishkan on Shiloh. Abai said he made a third mistake. It only protects the Kohen performing the Avoda, and Yov was a non-Kohen. So while three of the 12 brothers playing the Ir Miklat game were trying to pull away one who was grabbing onto the horns of a model Mizbeach, others were debating whether it was a mitzvah or a reshus to kill a brother who had left the area designated as an Ir Miklat, which reminds us, Gemara brings three opinions regarding killing a rotzeach who left the Ir Miklat, whether it's a mitzvah for the Goel Adam to kill him or simply a reshus, and whether others are permitted to kill him. So, while three of the 12 brothers playing the Ir Miklat game were trying to pull away one who was grabbing onto the horns of a model Mizbeach, others were debating whether it was a mitzvah or a reshus to kill a brother who'd left the area designated as an Ir Miklat. When the oldest brother pointed out that that brother was safe, since he was standing under a tree whose branches extended into the city, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if a tree is inside the Tchuma of the Ir Miklat and its branches are outside, or the reverse, Hakol Holech Achra Anof, everything follows the branches regarding whether the Goa Adam can kill him. Daf Yud Gimel, so the Simur Daf Yud Gimel is a Bar Mitzvah boy. So here goes. At the Bar Mitzvah, that must be on Daf Yud Gimel. At the Bar Mitzvah, where the guests received stylized cards, with a list of relatives, one gets Malkus and Karisvar, which reminds us, the third pair begins, Ve'elehen Alokin, and these are the ones who receive Malkus. Rashi notes that this is not a complete list. The mission proceeds to list relations with relatives, which carry the penalty of Karis, and teaches that they incur Malkus as well. So at the Bar Mitzvah, where the guests received stylized cards, with a list of relatives, one gets Malkus and Karisvar, the Bachar Bar Mitzvah darshan from Kedivu Shaso, that if he were to be Mechal Shabbos, he would only be Chai Misa and not Malkus as well, which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel derives that violating any love incurs Malkus. There are several exceptions, such as Lav Hanita Ko'ase, because the love must be Dumya de Lav de Chasima, similar to the prohibition against muzzling a threshing animal. Rabbi Kiva holds Chai Misa's basin cannot also receive Malkus, because the Pasuk says, Kedei Risha. So, according to his wickedness, teaching, Mishum Risha Achaza Tamachaivo, you can punish him for one wickedness, Via Tamachaivo Mishum Shtei Rishios, but you cannot punish him for two wickednesses for one act. Rabbi Shmuel holds that execution of Malkus are Misa Arichtahi, like one long death. So, at the bar mitzvah, the guests received stylized cards with a list of relatives one gets Malkus and Karas for. The Bachar Bar Mitzvah darshan from Kedei Risha so that if he were to be Machal Shabbos, he would only be Chayv Misa and not Malkus as well. And then wowed the guests by answering the question, what if I was only warned about Malkus and not Misa? Which reminds us, Rav explains the Malchokas differently. If the Edim had warned the transgressor of the Misa penalty, all agree that since he's executed, he does not additionally receive Malkus. They argue in a case of Da'asu Be'la Malkus, where they only warned him that he would receive Malkus, so he cannot be executed. Rav Shmuel holds, Lav Shenitin Lazarus Misa's Basin, Lokin Lav. One receives Malkus even for a prohibition given to warn about the death penalty when the death penalty cannot be carried out. Rabbi Kiva holds love shenitin lasaras misas basin ain woken love, because the love was written for the death penalty, because every punishment of basin requires an azara, warning in the Torah, and cannot be used for malchus. Daf Yodalad. So the simmer Daf Yodalad is a yad, a hand, and we use a juggler for the simmon. So here goes. The wicked juggler. Juggler? That must be on Daf Yodalad. Yad. Hand. The wicked juggler who juggled three pink balls with the word sister on them over the heads of three separate karbanas using just one hand, which reminds us, on the previous daf, Rabbi Yitzchak said one does not receive malchus for averos with a karas penalty, which he darshans from the superfluous karas written by his sister. The Gemara ultimately explains what the Rabbanan hold it teaches. Achayva achosa shi achos aviv shi achos imo, to obligate him in three separate karbanas for relations with his sister who is also his father's sister and also his mother's sister. This is possible in the case of Rishia Bar Rishia, a wicked person, son of a wicked person. So the wicked juggler who juggled three pink balls with the word sister on them over the heads of three separate karbanas using just one hand was getting malchus for being tamei and touching kodesh with his other hand, which reminds us the mission the previous daf taught that a tamei person who ate kashim foods receives malchus. Amoraim disagree on the source of the hazara. Rish Lakish says it's from Bekol Kodesh Lo Siga, she shall not touch any sacred food while she's tamei, which refers to eating. Ryochan derives it from a gzer shava of tumaso tumaso from a tamei who entered the mikdash. The Gemara asks that Reish Lakish uses this pasuk for a different prohibition. Tamei shenaga b'kodesh. If a tamei person touched kachim foods, Reish Lakish says he receives malchus based on the pasuk b'kol kodesh lo siga, he shall not touch any sacred food. So, the wicked juggler who juggled three pink balls with the word sister on them over the heads of three separate karbanas using just one hand was getting malchus for being tamei and touching kodesh with his other hand while eating kachim meat before the zrikas adam, which reminds us, if a tamei person ate kachim meat before the throwing of the carbon's blood on the mizbeach, Reish Lakish says he receives malchus because b'kol kodesh hosiga prohibits a tamei from eating kachim whether before or after zrika. Ryochan says he does not receive malchus because he derived the azar for eating kachim from a gezer shava, and the pasuk of tumaso is discussed in kachim, which may be eaten by a tahar, meaning after zrika. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we discuss the case of a tamei person who eats kachim meat before zrika zadam? That's on daf Yadalad. Good. Number two, which daf do we have the Mishnah of Il Hen Elokin for transgressing a losase, including those with a chi of karis? That's on daf Yud Gemel. Good. Number three, which daf do we learn why Ona Shagirish does not receive malchus? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number four, which daf do we learn that a Talmud that goes into Galus, his Rebbe goes into Galus with him? That's on daf Yud. Good. Number five, which daf do we have Malkokas of Bitu of Lobitu or Kimu of Lokimu, where according to one opinion, an onus would not be loka unless he made it impossible to fulfill the asya of remarrying the woman he divorced? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number six, which daf do we Malkokas about the source that a tamei person who touches kachim foods receives malchus? That's on daf Yadalad. Good. Number seven, which daf do we learn about the six Ari Mikot, three in Eretz Yisrael, and three in Eber HaYarden? That's on daf Tes. Good. Number eight, which daf do we learn the curse of a Chacham, even undeserved, will come to pass? That's on daf Yadalad. Good. Number nine, which daf do we discuss what the din is in a case where Edim only warned a person about Malkus, but not that they would be Chayv Mises based in? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 10, which stuff do we learn the Ryokhan said? Regarding any losase preceded by an ase, one receives malchus for transgressing it. That's on daf Tezvav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.